All right, let's get the road on the show. We're getting any younger here?
Oh.
Good morning, children. It is morning. Recording this. The morning I need to publish it. Because I was fucking off last night. Oh. I got a lot going on. Where'd my notes go? There they are. Let me write this down. I should talk about this real quick also. I should talk about a lot of things. There's many things I should talk about. There's a lot of shoulds in this world. Homie ain't got time for that. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Yada, yada, yada. Hell, even though it's almost 0900, I'm still waking up. Oh, stretchy stretches. All right. Yeah, there goes the cruise missile. Great, we've got that launched. We can go ahead and get started now. I got the scratchies, too. I got itchies everywhere. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I am currently watching the movie A Bridge Too Far, which is a pretty good war movie. It's not... I wouldn't consider it like one of the greatest war movies ever, but it's not bad. Why is my waveform so fucking low? It seems weird. Swear to God, I just hate technology. I'm so over it. Watching A Bridge Too Far, which is not one of the greatest war movies out there, in my opinion. Certainly not up there with Kelly's Heroes. But... and I don't know how historically accurate it is exactly. But it is a good movie. There's a lot of good actors in there. And they do a great job. And I think it's a good war movie too. Especially in the sense of, as I scratch my head in the microphone. In the sense of, it shows... the military commanders doing dumb things and making bad decisions and all this other stuff. Like when the Germans find the Allies' plans for the invasion in one of their crashed gliders, and the German general's like, no, those are fake, that's a decoy. And the other German general's looking at him like, are you insane? Yeah, it's filled with stuff like that. But the thing that struck me the most about the movie as I was watching it, because in the movie, so the Allies are... invading into Holland, where that guy Adam Piggott lives, who also I didn't have time to work on the podcast last night because I've been consulting with my lawyers, because Adam Piggott is, of course, accusing Captain Capitalism and myself of workplace harassment, workplace bullying. And I think we're going to start a lawsuit. We're going to do some lawsuits, like over on the Dick Masterson show, like with Maddox and Dick. I think we're going to do some lawsuits. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to do some cyber begging on Patreon. And I think the goal is if I can get Adam Piggott to sue me and Aaron Clary. I mean, why not? He can do both of us. If he can sue us and then we can take advantage of that, maybe Clary and I can both get Patreon accounts where we make $26,000 a month. And then we'll both be able to retire early and we'll have plenty of time available for downloading Adam Piggott's WAV files of his podcast. So anyway, Holland, where Adam Piggott currently lives, they're invading Holland and they're driving through all of the cities because there's a convoy of tanks and trucks and everything along with the invasion force, the paratroopers. But they're in all these cities in Holland and I'm looking at... the people who live in these cities in Holland, and all I see is white people. I mean, there's no persons of color. You know, I don't see any Muslims. I don't see anybody wearing hijabs. I'm not seeing any gay pride flags. I had no idea that Holland was such a racist place, that there's just all these white people there, right? When they're in some of the buildings, I haven't noticed any of the bathrooms being marked as multi-gender bathrooms. It's just the stunning amount of racism and sexism and homophobia that you see in this movie on the part of all of these. And, you know, I don't know, like, was this a reflection of the time that Holland was this racist country that was only white people? Or was this a reflection of the racistness of the makers of this movie, that they deliberately, when they were casting actors to portray all of these citizens in the cities of Holland, you know, did they deliberately exclude persons of color because the filmmakers were racist? I think that's probably the most likely. Now, unless, of course, any of the filmmakers were Jews, because we know that, of course, Jews can't be racist because Jews are God's chosen people. So anyhow, other than the very overt racism in this, in the military, like, for example, there's the British military and the American military and the Polish military, and it's all white people. It's just so fucking racist. And yeah, I'm glad that now that I'm woke and everything and I see these things around me, because there was probably a time when I would have watched this movie and the fact that none of the British generals and American generals and Polish generals and French generals, that none of these people were black, you know, or Muslims, probably would have just slipped right under my radar. But now this is, I see this all the time. All right, we've milked that for all it's worth. Speaking of milking things, I want to throw this out before we get back to smoking dope, because we are going to get back to smoking dope, because this does tie into smoking dope. I listened to the Dick Show this morning, and this reminded me of this. Because I know I talk about the Dick Show a lot, Dick.show. And it's good, and I like Dick, and he's a great podcast. I highly recommend it. But this doesn't mean I agree with everything he says. And sometimes, like all the rest of us, except for me, of course, Dick is a fucking moron. Some odd episodes ago, right after Dick came back from Burning Man, he was doing a rage. He was all pissed off, and he's going on because, yeah, I'm at Burning Man, and there is this guy there who kept hitting on my girlfriend. And I think this is the sort of disconnect you get when you smoke too much dope. Okay. So Dick Masterson is upset because another man is hitting on Dick's girlfriend at Burning Man. Now, what is Burning Man? And I haven't been to Burning Man. Dick's been to Burning Man a bunch of times, and so how he can't figure this out, I don't know. Burning Man is a place where a bunch of degenerate hippie wannabes go out in the desert in order to avoid shaving and bathing and do drugs and have sex. Now, why would you get angry about somebody at Burning Man trying to bang your girlfriend? Did you expect to go to Burning Man and take your girlfriend with you and not have other people try to fuck your girlfriend? Like, what even is a Burning Man? Okay, like, do you not understand? See, I've never been to Burning Man. I would not take a woman. First of all, I wouldn't go to Burning Man. But if I was going to Burning Man, and if I had a girlfriend, I sure as fuck wouldn't take my girlfriend to Burning Man. Because if I'm going to Burning Man, you know what I'm going there for? I'm not going there to do drugs, because I don't do drugs. I'm going there to see if there's anything worth fucking. And I'm sure there's lots of people who go, no, man, Burning Man is about the art, man. It's a community, man, where everything just happens, man. And man, and dude, and dude, and it's a community, and everybody, like, lives together, man, and they do stuff. Which sounds kind of like anarcho-capitalism. Sounds kind of like Ancapadice, right? Bunch of people come together, except that I know somebody who worked at Burning Man, and there is a government, there is a central planning committee, there are rules, there are enforcers, and sure, you can have a thing where a bunch of people just hang out and smoke dope, and you can last for a week, but that's not sustainable as a long-term plan for a functional society. And this is the sort of thing that smoking dope will do to you. And people, dude, smoking dope doesn't make you dumber, man. Okay, if smoking dope doesn't make you dumb, how in fuck's name would you think that you could take your girlfriend to Burning Man and not have other people try to have sex with her? I submit, smoking dope makes you dumb. All right, let's get back to smoking dope, because we got to get going here. I looked up, what's this guy's name? I could probably look on the computer monitor right in front of me. Come on, mouse, where are you? There it is, thank you. God, I fucking hate technology. If I mention I hate technology, Doug Coatsworth. This is the researcher here at CSU who's doing this. Found his LinkedIn, there are no surprises here. Okay, so Doug has, what the hell is an AB? I don't even know what an AB is. He has an AB in psychology and social relations from Harvard College, and he has a PhD in clinical psychology from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities up in Claryland. And his job experience on his LinkedIn profile, he was a professor, he was an associate professor, both at Penn State University, and now he's a professor at Colorado State University. Once again, we have somebody who has never been into the real world. It tells us everything we need to know about this guy. He is a professor and director of the Applied Developmental Science Project, Science Program, and Mindfulness and Family Resilience Lab. Let me say that again without fucking it up so you can digest this. This is what, this guy gets your tax money. This guy's 100% funded with our tax money. This is his directory page at Colorado State University website. J. Douglas Coatsworth, professor and director of the Applied Developmental Science Program and Mindfulness and Family Resilience Lab. What is that? As a liberal, I'm sure he's devoted to destroying the family. But he's the director at something called the Applied Developmental Science Program and Mindfulness and Family Resilience Lab. Found a little article over here. Let me read this paragraph to you because this is what it's all about. Just so we all know where we're at, this is about something he did, blah, 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 the two-year project. So he's doing some project. Oh, it's called Empowering Youth and Families in Rural Colorado. Implementing SFP 10-14 to prevent opioid misuse. SFP. Oh, the SFP. This stands for Strengthening Families Program. He's going to strengthen some families. He's got a Strengthening Families Program. Okay, the two-year project, directed by members of CSU's Prevention Research Center, has received more than $320,000 from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and nearly $1.1 million from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Doug Coatsworth is in charge of this project that's getting all of this money. And this goes back once again to say, well, is marijuana really addictive or not? First of all, there's no such thing as addiction, right? We talked about that, the book, Addiction is a Choice, go read it. But it doesn't matter because there is an incentive for people like Doug who can't get real jobs to turn smoking dope into an addiction because this is how Doug makes money. Right? Some people make money writing books. Some people make money having sex. Some people make money collecting the garbage. Some people make money delivering garbage. It's called shit from Amazon. Some people make money selling groceries, right? Some people make money buying, selling lettuce, raising lettuce. What the fuck ever. Words. Some people make money fucking other people out of money by selling them fucking Google advertising. Doug makes money by creating addictions that need to be treated and getting funding from the taxpayers. So despite the fact that we, people in Colorado, were told endlessly and over by the marijuana legalization crowd, we were told that marijuana is non-addictive. Now, all of a sudden, Doug Coatsworth and other people are seeing, hey, here's an untapped source of funding. If we can make marijuana addictive, we can get government tax money to treat marijuana addiction. And the beauty of it is, Doug is going to treat the marijuana addiction by sending out text messages. Which means the overhead on his part is virtually nothing. If you remember correctly, we'll get back to the article in a second. The way they're going to treat marijuana addiction is by sending text messages. So they're going to write the text messages ahead of time. And then they just put it in a computer, and then they enter everybody's phone number, and they walk away from it, and the thing just sends out text messages. It's not like Doug is personally going to sit there and send each dope smoker an individualized text message, right? Doug's not going to be sitting there typing out a text message going, hey, Dick Masterson, how are you today? Have you managed to move past the fact that you took your girlfriend to Burning Man and a man tried to have sex with her and you were surprised by this yet? Because maybe smoking a lot of dope had something to do with that. And so maybe you should consider laying off the dope because you might be addicted to the dope. But I appreciate you being addicted to the dope because I right now am getting well over $1 million of tax money to type this text message to you. Send. Smiley face, send. Now, smoking dope doesn't make anybody stupid. Let's jump back into this. Quote, who are we quoting? This is Manson, the researcher at Tennessee, at some university. I didn't look him up because I didn't have time this morning. I'm going to make a prediction. He probably has a degree in psychology, and I bet he's worked his entire life in academia. Quote, it being marijuana, it has the ability to interfere with people's lives, unquote, Mason said. Oh, like the government interferes in people's lives. Quote, but it's a small percentage of people that try that are going to progress to that level. Approximately 9% of people who use marijuana will develop cannabis use disorder. See, we've already come up with a cute name for it. CUD. It's CUD. Do you have CUD? Oh my God, I have CUD. Oh my God, I have ADHD and I have CUD. Oh my God, I have CUD. Do you have CUD? I think I have cud. Mom, I can't focus at school because I have cud. Oh. And mom was probably so stupid, she doesn't know what cud is, so she'll think it's like ADHD, and then she'll say, well, what do we need to do to treat your cud? And then a really smart kid, well, you can't be smart in a stoner, but if he's in the early stages of stonerism before his brain is completely decayed, he would say, well, mom, you know, a lot of people are treating cud with medical marijuana. It really helps reduce a lot of the strain and the stress and the tax and the toils of having cud. So I think you need to get me on medical marijuana. And of course, doctors, they don't give a shit. I don't know about you. Here in Colorado, I have been informed by people who have pursued this path that it's not that hard. And this was because we, the government of the state of Colorado, legalized medical marijuana before they legalized recreational Colorado. Whew. The brain is not with me today. The state government legalized medical marijuana before they legalized recreational marijuana. And I was reliably informed by a number of people who pursued the path that acquiring a medical marijuana card wasn't exactly difficult. Basically, you went to a doctor and you said, I feel some pain. And the doctor said, have you taken an aspirin? And you said, yes. And I'd like to try medical marijuana because the aspirin didn't work. And the doctor said, okay. That was about how complicated it was. According to secondhand reports that I've received from people who had medical marijuana cards. So there you go. Go tell your mom that you have cud and you need medical marijuana to treat this. Approximately nine... Hang on. Let me turn on the fucking light. That'll help. Approximately 9% of people who use marijuana will develop cannabis use disorder. Problems are starting to arise in their relationships, in their work, in their school. Unquote. So you see, smoking dope is not addictive and it doesn't cause any problems like alcohol and the other drugs used cause. However, for 9% of people who smoke marijuana, problems are starting to arise in their relationships, in their work, and in their school. Now let's talk about this. It's a small percentage of people that try that are going to progress to that level. So a small percentage of people, according to Manson, is 9%. 9% is a small percentage of people. Once again, let's shift a couple of things around here. Let's put this into perspective. Let's say that 9% of Jews were gassed. Is 9% a small percentage of people? What if 9% of black people were made into slaves and forced to pick cotton? Would 9% be a small number of people? Would it be a small percentage? What if 9% of unborn babies were aborted? Oh, wait, that's totally okay because it's a woman's body, a woman's choice. Never mind, nothing to see here. What if 9% of women were raped? Would 9% be a small percentage? Now, I understand the context in which Mason means that 9% of people who smoke dope become addicted is a small percentage. He means that that's a small percentage from his perspective, because that percentage needs to be larger because then he can get more federal funding. But think about it. So if 9% of people who smoke dope get cannabis use disorder, I don't know. That sounds to me like fairly addictive. I have no idea. What is the percentage of people who drink alcohol who are alcoholics? I have no fucking idea. It might be more than 9%. Might be less. I don't know. But if you come to me and you say to me, 9% of people who do marijuana are going to have, how does he phrase it here? 9% of people who smoke marijuana are going to have problems start to arise in their relationships, work, and school. That sounds like a fairly substantial number to me. This 9% of people who are doing something are going to have problems as a result of doing it. Mason wrote that those who suddenly stop using marijuana can even experience withdrawal symptoms. Hold on. First of all, there's no such thing as withdrawal symptoms. I love these fucking urban myths. Yeah, man, if you stop doing drugs, you have withdrawal. Not in the sense you're talking about. Nobody dies from withdrawal symptoms. And I'm sure that you have a friend who had a friend who heard of a friend who died of withdrawal symptoms. Let me see the coroner's report, right? Let me see some medical fucking data on this. But once again, so if marijuana is not addictive, which is what the stoners told us when they were trying to get marijuana legalized so that they could smoke dope all the time, then how in the fuck can anybody experience withdrawal symptoms? And what's also interesting is that the marijuana that we're talking about, right, that causes cannabis use disorder in 9% of the people who smoke it, which causes problems in their relationships and their works and their schools, okay, and which causes people to have withdrawal symptoms. See, this is not just legal, but celebrated in the state of Colorado, which meanwhile is has been waging a war for a long time on tobacco and is now, like a whole bunch of other places and states and governments, gearing up to wage a war on vaping. Not that I give a shit about vaping. If you've been here for a while, you may remember when the Great One used to be into the vaping thing. I tried it. It was there. I did that for a while. I moved on. I was over it. It's actually fucking gay and stupid. The South Park episode where Randy becomes a marijuana farmer and he calls the vapors, he calls their little vaping thingies pussy sticks. That is hilarious. That is now what I call them. Is pussy sticks. Whenever I see someone vaping, I'm like, I see you have your pussy stick. Because see, I've come full circle. I'm just back to cigars and pipes. It's like all these, I got my little pussy stick. I'm vaping, you know, and the stoners, dude, man, dude. Nah, just give me a fucking cigar. Give me some pipe tobacco. Anyway, let me finish this fucking sentence. Mason wrote that those who suddenly stop using marijuana can even experience withdrawal symptoms such as anxiety, trouble sleeping, and irritability, which is really fascinating because, you know, among the many reasons for which you could receive a medical marijuana card to smoke marijuana was that you could get permission from the government. You know, the people who own you, that's why you need permission to smoke dope. Like you need permission to get married. You could get permission from the government to smoke dope for medical reasons to treat anxiety, trouble sleeping, and irritability. So these three symptoms of withdrawal from marijuana are three of the very things that you could get medical marijuana to treat. Nathan Riggs, a co-investigator with CSU, wrote that the study is also important because 6% of college students, otherwise known as Zoomers, report using cannabis more than 20 times per month. Quote, more than 2,000 CSU students use cannabis daily, which is associated with lower academic achievement and a greater likelihood of dropping out and physical health problems, unquote, Riggs wrote in an email to the Collegian. Once again, we were told marijuana doesn't make people dumber. Why, that's just a stereotype created by people who are anti-marijuana. Marijuana has no effect on your physical health, on your mental health, on your intelligence. Those are all just lies being told to you by the evil conservatives who don't want to legalize marijuana, but really didn't have a problem legalizing marijuana when they saw the numbers about how much tax revenue was going to be generated, which they could then give to the schools to virtue signal how much they care about children. I really can't. If I have time, you could do it. Go to Google. Try searching like state of Colorado, marijuana legalization, alcohol versus tobacco, something. See if you can find any of this propaganda. I'd do it right now, but I really don't want to fucking bore you guys with me typing into Google. But I cannot emphasize to you how much this was shoved down our throats. There was this entire lobbying group whose sole purpose was devoted to throwing forth all these facts and numbers and statistics and studies about how alcohol was bad and alcohol did this and alcohol did that. And marijuana had none of those problems. Marijuana has no negative health effects. Marijuana had no effect on intelligence. Really smart people can smoke marijuana all the time and it has no effect on them. There's no negative health effects from marijuana. That's all we heard over and over and over and over. We were just bombarded by this shit. Quote continues, quote, many of these students would like to either stop or reduce the amount of cannabis they are using. Once again, we're back to Zoomers don't know how to smoke less dope. Well, they'd like to reduce the amount of cannabis they're using. Okay. If you want to smoke less dope, smoke less dope. And when you tell me, well, smoking dope doesn't make people dumber. Okay. So you're telling me that a whole bunch of people who smoke dope want to smoke less dope, but they don't know how to smoke less dope. I'm going to tell you that's dumb. Many of these students would like to either stop or reduce the amount of cannabis they are using. This intervention is designed to reduce heavy cannabis use and in turn increase the likelihood of student success and healthy development, unquote. So once again, he's saying that student success and healthy development is inversely proportional to smoking dope. But the dope legalization people told us that smoking dope doesn't affect your intelligence or your health. Somebody's lying. Now, is it the people who wanted to legalize dope so they could smoke dope all day long? Were they the ones who are lying? Or is it the researchers who want people to be addicted to dope so that the researchers can get tax money to help people stop being addicted to dope? Are they the ones who are lying? I mean, we know there's no third possibility. We know it's completely impossible that both of them are lying. That could never be a thing. Coatsworth said, the study had already been done in places such as Tennessee and Canada. Great, Tennessee in a third world country. And showed working results, but Colorado is a bit different than these places. Quote, the environment at Tennessee and the environment here in Colorado is different. Don't you mean they are different? Coatsworth said, quote, it's legalized here. We think that students probably have greater access to it, and we want to understand whether the program works similarly on differently in these two contexts, which I can't fucking read. Coatsworth said, if the study at CSU is successful, it could become a permanent service to those who need it. By permanent service, we mean a way for Coatsworth to permanently access taxpayer money. Quote, we have to run one or two more studies, which will be funded by the taxpayers, to make sure it's working the way we want it to be working and funneling enough taxpayer money into our programs. Then we can integrate it more into the kind... Wait, hold on. I got to read. Then we can integrate it more into the kinds of things that people can use, the kinds of things that can be used in the communities, the kinds of things that can be used in the universities. Unquote. I don't know what that means. It's fascinating when there are millions of dollars of tax money involved, how people with years and years of college who have never had a real job in their life can take something so simple and make it so complex. Just smoke less dope. All you have to do is smoke less dope. How is this hard? How is this difficult? Just smoke less dope. I mean, unless smoking dope really makes you so fucking dumb that you can't smoke less dope. And you guys wonder why I make fun of people who smoke dope. Coatsworth said that everyone is excited about this opportunity. Everyone is excited about that. I know I'm excited. I can barely contain my excitement. I'm giddy. I'm giddy with excitement. Coatsworth said that everyone is excited about this opportunity because it's easy for anyone to use. See, it's easy. You just get a text message. Doug gets a bunch of tax money, and he sends you a text message. Oh, it's so easy. He said the text-based service gives people more control. They see a text on their phone, and they can choose whether to act or not. So let me see if I got this right. Let's walk through this. Let's pretend I smoke a lot of dope. Okay, so I smoke a lot of dope. Dude. All right, so I'm smoking a whole lot of dope. Now, I decide that I would like to reduce the amount of dope that I smoke. But I am unable to take action that results in me smoking less dope. But now, I get a text message from Doug. And while I'm unable to make a choice to smoke less dope and follow through on that, I can make a choice to read Doug's text message. And when I read the text message from Doug, somehow doing that is going to now, empower. We can use some buzz. I'm going to be empowered to make the decision to smoke less dope. You know, maybe I'm just not a Zoomer. Maybe I don't really understand the power of text messaging. I wonder if Doug put this, instead of sending text messages, I wonder if he put it on Snapchat. If that would be even more effective. Right? Maybe I just don't get it. Quote, but it keeps reminding them about goals they set up for changing their use, Coatsworth said. It's like you have a good friend following you around who is reminding you about the things you want to change in your life. Unquote. End of article. So these text messages, it's like having a friend. Because these people who smoke dope all day long don't have any friends. Getting these text messages reminding you to smoke less dope. That's like having you a friend that follows you around and reminds you about the things you want to change in your life. Because, I mean, you can't remind yourself. You have no long-term memory because you've smoked all that dope that doesn't have any negative effects on memory or intelligence or health. And it's not addictive, even though 9% of people get addicted to it, and they might even have withdrawal symptoms if they stop smoking enough dope. Holy fucking shit. And that's that. That is that. Nothing else to say on this. Moving on. When is this? This is from back in May. Don't read this. Here we go. Moving on. Every once in a while, I like to check in on the stupidity of the government of the state of Texas. As the Texas legislature entered the final weeks of its 140-day, 86th regular session, Texans continued to wait for lawmakers to wrap up priority issues. The 2021 state budget, property tax reform, and school finance reform. Of the more than 7,000 bills, Senate and House members have filed proposing to create, amend, or repeal a law, only 56 had passed and been forwarded to the governor's desk for the final approval as of Sunday, May 19th. 7,000 attempts at creating, modifying, amending, blah, 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 laws. There shouldn't even be 7,000 laws. How can you need this many laws? Of course, in Texas, a lot of people smoke dope. We know they're not very smart. Some of them might even be having withdrawal symptoms. This is a low number of bills to have survived the threshing. Oh, I get it. This is a low number of bills to have survived the threshing floors at both ends of the Capitol at this point in the session, which is good. Lawmakers with bones to pick with each other have used... What? God, I cannot read today. Lawmakers with bones to pick with each other have used and many continue to use parliamentary maneuvers to speed or slow the movement of bills. Really, no shit. Why am I reading this part? Can we get to the good part? Meanwhile, last week, the House and Senate passed and forwarded to the governor the following bills. Okay, so these are the things that for the state of Texas government, these are important things. And ask yourself as we go through this, given now we know that, you know, smoking too much dope affects people's intelligence, I wonder if any of these people are smoking dope. House Bill 253 by Representative Jessica Farah, Democrat Houston, provides for the development and implementation of a five-year strategic plan to improve access-supported services for postpartum depression. Remember when depression used to be something that was treated by your friends and families for free because they loved you and cared about you? House Bill 621 by Representative Victoria Neve, Democrat, Dallas, prohibits an employer from taking any adverse employment action against a child care or education professional who reports possible child abuse or neglect. Now, these reports of child abuse that nobody can be punished for, would this child abuse include abortion? Would the child abuse include being raised by single mothers? Would the child abuse include being given hormone blockers? Does child abuse include having to use the same bathroom as transsexuals? What exactly is the definition of child abuse? I suspect that Victoria Neve, Democrat of Dallas, has a very different definition of child abuse than normal people who don't heavily smoke dope. House Bill 869 by Representative Cole Hefner, Republican, Mount Pleasant. Oh boy, a Republican and a man. Let's see how good this is going to be. Provides for the prosecution. Yes, because Republicans love to prosecute people. My God, you Republicans love to put people in fucking cages, don't you? That is like, just like Democrats sit around and masturbate about smoking dope and murdering babies and having sex with 8-year-old children, Republicans, that you've just got this thing about putting people in cages. You just sit around all day like jacking off, thinking about, oh, let's put some more people in some cages. Or if we can get the incarceration rates up, oh, that'd be so wonderful. We can fix all the problems in society if we just get more people in jail, right? Democrats always think that we're one more law away from a perfect society. Republicans think we're just one more full prison away from a perfect society. Let's fucking incarcerate some more people. Provides for the prosecution of the interception, use, or disclosure of certain communications, notably credit card skimming, as organized crime. See, and this goes back to what I keep trying to tell you people. We're going to make a law to prosecute and incarcerate people who engage in credit card skimming. Okay, but credit card skimming is when you steal someone's credit card information and then you use it to buy shit. And the key is steal. When you steal, okay, stealing things is already against the law. How many laws do we need to say that stealing is wrong? How are you people this stupid? House Bill 1218 by Representative Stephanie Click, Republican, Fort Worth, requires the Executive Commissioner of the Health and Human Services Commission, something that shouldn't exist. There's a fucking parasitical job for somebody who can't get a real job. All right. God, oh my God, this is long. Oh, this is so long-winded. All right. Requires the Executive Commissioner of the Health and Human Services Commission to establish a schedule for the distribution of supplemental nutritional assistance program, better known as SNAP, benefits that ensures the even distribution of the benefits each month over a 28-day period. You see, people who are getting fucking welfare, now we've got to make sure the welfare is evenly distributed over the month, because you can't give it to them in one lump sum because they just blow it all because they have no fucking self-control, they have no ability to plan for anything, and they probably smoke a lot of dope. I mean, this is serious. See, guys, this is a fucking law? This is a thing that this woman thinks needs to be a law to ensure the even distribution of the benefits each month. I mean, fucking Christ. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Once again, people, well, we got to have welfare. Great, here's welfare. Give each welfare recipient one giant lump sum of money one time in their life. Here you go. Here is $100,000. Eliminate all the fucking overhead. Eliminate all the paperwork, all the bullshit. You give them $100,000. Bam, right there. No taxes on it, nothing. Finished, said, done. You know why that'll never happen? Because number one, the real purpose of the welfare system is to provide welfare for all the people who work in the welfare system and can't get a fucking job. And the other reason is because if you gave all of these fucking low-intelligence, dope-smoking pieces of shit a giant lump sum of money, it would be gone in 6 months. Because they're not poor because evil fucking white Republicans are holding them down. But Republicans can't get off their ass and do a fucking thing other than put people in fucking cages because they're a bunch of fucking worthless, spineless pieces of shit. These people are poor because they're dumb as fuck and they make bad decisions.